This is Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. When you want to get away from it all, the constant checking of your smartphone, the unending Twitter, Facebook, email updates, your Candy Crush addiction, a nice weekend in the woods, right, can be perfect, a perfect way to unwind and unplug. But you know you're not going to leave that smartphone at home, right? So let's at least make good use of it. Why not install a few wilderness apps that can turn your phone into an all-in-one camping tool? Or there are apps that can map out the trails or watch the sky or even transform your phone into an emergency beacon. Bob Parks is a writer based out of Brattleboro, Vermont. Welcome to Science Friday.
Thanks so much, Ira.
A lot of stuff you can do with apps while you're out there.
That's right. And in fact, I do put my phone on airplane mode while I'm in the woods unless I need to communicate. Mm-hmm. And then you can use your apps without having to worry about getting pinged from work. But there are a lot of navigation apps, especially ones you pay a few dollars for, but they allow you to get the maps offline. So you don't have to have phone coverage way out in the woods.
So you download the map first because you actually may be out of phone coverage. When?
You have to do a little prep the night before. That's right. Maybe a couple of megs of data, so it could take up to an hour.
Oh, my goodness.
There are a couple of standard apps for this called Backcountry Navigator or Gaia. People have used those for a while. People are starting to depend on their phones more in the backwoods. Of course, you'll have your paper map and your compass. You'll take a little time to learn how to triangulate and get a bearing. But you may keep those in your pack the whole time and use these apps just for convenience and for their extra features.
If you want to get in on this app chat, our number is 844-724-8255, 844-SciTalk. You can also tweet us at SciFry, S-C-I-F-R-I. What is your favorite outdoor app, Bob?
Oh, gosh. I have a couple of them.
Okay.
Specific ones like for hanging hammocks. But my favorite is in terms of a broad app to use is a peak finder. What's better than to get to the top of a mountain, enjoy the view, but then you're kind of left wondering what are the other mountains that you can see from that spot? There's a brilliant app that you can download that costs a few bucks. And it uses your GPS and it uses your compass to draw a very elegant line of that horizon that you're looking at right now. And it labels all of the mountains far and near.
So do you hold it up in front of your face, pointing it at the mountains, or you just leave it down there?
That's right. You hold it right up, and it kind of feels like augmented reality. You can look right through it and see the peaks behind your phone and know their names.
It's like that Skywalk app for watching the stars and the planets and constellations, things like that.
I love those too. That's a second favorite.
you were telling me about your other favorite that was number two.
Oh, well,
the
you know,
hammock the, one.
It can get pretty geeky. There's a hammock. There's a hammock app that will tell the tension of the lines on your hammock. I tell you exactly how high to string them on a particular tree, given the inputs that you put into it. And just for fun physics' sake, it'll tell you the tension on the hammock, and if you give it your own weight.
Does it tell you the exact angles you should make with the lines so that you're hanging at a certain level or distance off the ground?
Exactly. It gives you a whole little a physics map of where all the lines should be.
Wow. 844-724-8255 is our number. When you're hiking out or camping, you got these camping maps. And are there other tools that you got to have, you know, if you're out there? You're sort of turning your cell phone into a Swiss Army knife of stuff.
It is. And I think that some people want to get away from electronic gadgets, but it depends on your goals. You can engage even more with the woods if you have a little bit of knowledge. I think back in the old days, you might have gotten some tips on how to make knots or how to set up a tent from your Uncle Walter or whatever. And I think nowadays people learn a lot of that stuff from YouTube. So if you can have some apps that have that knowledge in your backpack, you can kind of get you more involved learning about birds, trees, those kinds of things. In terms of need to have apps, of course, you'd always have to have, you know, paper backups. But with that in mind, there are amazing weather apps from the NOAA.
Oh, yeah, of course. Of course you need that.
They have high def radar. You can have 5-minute updates of a storm, a looming storm coming toward your tent. Or you could get the AccuWeather app. Mm. That's free. And that gives you a little weather patterns right at your micro location.
Right.
So I like both of those.
Yeah. Let's go to the phones. 844-724-8255. Let's go to Yehuda in Washington, D.C. Hi, welcome to Science Friday.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I do a lot of hiking. I'm involved in scouts and things like that. And technology I've found is really valuable in helping you figure out where you're going and communicate. But a few friends of mine were hiking the Appalachian Trail, and they were depending on their phones for communication and navigation, and their batteries died, and they got lost, and it started a massive search, including a helicopter and things like that. And then that starts a discussion of who's going to pay to find them. So you really do have to have other tools with you, even though you have a phone that will help you figure out where you're going.
That's a great point. And in fact, one of our tweet family called Tim Miller says apps are great, but how about a solar panel for a recharge? Might be good to take some of that with you for your app, right?
Yeah,
That's right.
I have a solar panel for when I go camping. It really helps a lot, but there's nothing that matches actually knowing where you are and how to use the other non-battery powered tools that are available.
You're a true Boy Scout. You are prepared. All right, thanks for calling. I noticed on your web links that a lot of these stores, these outfitters where you can buy your gear, do have solar panels and things like crankable electric generators.
That's right. That's excellent. I bring a Goal Zero. That's the brand. That's one of the more popular ones. And if your phone goes dead, you have to spend a few hours plugging it in, but they work very well. And also, you would want to bring a backup battery because a fairly lightweight battery can have days more battery life on your phone, and it just really adds to the experience.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, one small point I was going to add to the last caller was, there are ways that phones can go wrong, and they are subject to Murphy's Law. They get wet and fail. Another thing that a state park ranger pointed out is that if you're using a compass, you're usually generally looking up, looking around you at the mountains, trees around you, maybe hazards around you. And when you're looking down at a phone, you might be walking along, stumbling, looking down. So, you might want to put the phone away while you're walking along just to enjoy the view.
Mm-hmm. Now, I understand that there are apps that can turn your phone into a beacon if you get lost. Is that right?
Well, more like there are a few new apps that I'm intrigued by that are something to really keep an eye out on. They're Bugle and Hiker Alert are two new apps, and they don't make the phone into a beacon. They make the server into a beacon. You tell the app, look, I'm coming back in 72 hours at a certain time, and this is where the trailhead will be, and this is where I'm going. And if you're not there within a couple of hours, with a little bit of leeway, 4 hours, it'll alert your loved ones and friends to say, keep tabs on this. Bob hasn't been back. Maybe call the authorities, depending on what you've heard. So it can automatically send out a beacon to friends, giving your location. And with one feature on one of the apps, it does tell you the GPS location of the phone.
It's like a pilot filing a flight plan.
That's right.
If you get lost, if he doesn't show up, start searching. This is a hike plan. Let's go to the phones to Palm City, Florida. Cal, hi. Welcome to Science Friday.
Hi there.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to say that I do search and rescue both in Florida and California, and have gone people who have followed their phones and their apps. Sometimes the apps are just wrong. Every single year in Death Valley, they have issues with people getting stranded far away because there are the roads say that they're there on GPS, but the roads are no longer there on the ground.
So there's still no substitute for a good map.
No substitute for a good map, and always tell someone where you're going.
There you go. There you go. Thanks for calling. Yeah. You can't always try. We know from mapping experience with cell phones that sometimes the roads are not where they appear to be on the phone. Let's talk about the mosquito apps. There are apps, right, that claim that they'll emit some high frequency and bugs will go away?
Well, I was trying to think of apps that maybe weren't. There are some need-to-have apps, some nice-to-have apps, and maybe some not nice-to-have apps at all. And one of the most popular apps, if you look at the iPhone downloads or the Android downloads, are the electronic insect repellents. They even have an acronym, EIRs. And they're generally free, and they emit a high-frequency sound that keeps female mosquitoes away, or we would wish so. A Brazilian team tested that theory and found that 30% more bites were took place with the app on. And that may be random, but at least they found that the app was not effective.
The law of unintended consequences. Wow.
One app I can't really fathom the science of is the Solunar tables. Now, fishermen and hunters for years have depended on lunar tables to know when the fish are biting or when to look for game. And I dismissed it, even though, you know, my fisher people in my family have always looked at these tables on paper, and they certainly come in a lot of apps. But there was a scientific study by two amateurs published in a peer-reviewed amateur science review that actually pointed out that musky fish were caught more on the lunar days than not. So I think it's worth looking into.
I'm Ira Flatow. This is Science Friday from PRI, Public Radio International. Talking with Bob Parks. He's a writer based out of Brattleboro, Vermont. Let's go to the phones. Yeah, let's go up to Anchorage with Jason. Hi, welcome to Science Friday, Jason.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey there.
You guys have brought up a lot of essential apps, but one thing we do a lot of hiking and camping up here, and me and family use the geocaching app, and I don't know if you're familiar with that one, but it's basically geocaches are whenever somebody's out hiking or something, they'll leave their life. A film container or something someone will hide, and then they'll leave hints on how to find it. And so it's more or less treasure hunting. We take the kids out.
Sounds like orienteering in the old days with a compass.
It's a really cool app.
Okay. Yeah, well, good point, Bob. What do you think?
Geocaching is amazing. And there is really only one player in this area. It's geocaching. It's the Groundspeak company that started the website geocaching. And the practice took place a little bit before Groundspeak put their website up, but they have over 2 million of these, like the caller pointed out, little film canisters or little boxes all around the world. The locations, you can go get them right now, and they're all graded by difficulty of finding them, difficulty of terrain, those kinds of things.
Jason, do you enjoy that? You really do enjoy that sport.
Oh, yeah, but, 90% of the time, they're really hard to find. So we've only found about, three or four out of the couple dozen we've looked for.
Do they eventually pick them up somewhere?
Yeah, it's funny, though. We carry around a Ziploc bag of extra prizes because you're supposed to take things out of it, note on a piece of paper inside of the container when you found it. And then, so you take a trinket out, and then you leave another one for the next person to find.
Oh, okay. Pay it forward. Thanks for calling, and happy geocaching. Are there like campfire apps? You're on the campfire, and now it's...
Absolutely. Yeah? There's a whole panoply of awesome apps for... one of my favorites is Campfire Recipes, exclamation point. You got to get the grammar right there. That's an iPhone app that has a whole Dutch oven section. And if you're car camping or your campsite is near the the car, then you're going to log in a Dutch oven and make some of these heavenly recipes.
Mm-hmm.
There's apps for campfire stories, campfire songs, a whole gamut of just a bunch of scary stories too, if that's your thing.
You read it from the app. The scary story.
maybe you may prep in the, yeah. Dad may prep in the tent and get it down and practice a little bit and then do it live.
I think campfire songs is good because it sort of must be a multi-generational thing. Maybe you can pass those campfire songs along from one generation to another. But when is the next time you're going camping, Bob?
I'm going at the end of the month. With my two kids and my 11-year-old daughter and 13-year-old son and my friend Tom and his two kids, and we're going on the Long Trail, maybe near the Liebrook Wilderness area, and probably bring along a solar panel, some paper maps, a cell phone, backup battery, and a compass.
Can the kids give up? Do they bring along their electronic gadgets? Are they able to, unplug for a while, or they just take them along with them?
Every family is different, and I think that since I cover technology, they rebel, and they've become Luddites.
Is that right?
That's true.
I'm glad to hear that. Thanks, Bob. I'm going to have a happy camping trip.
Thanks so much, Ira.
Bob Parks is a writer based out of Brattleboro, Vermont.